The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Herb here. Welcome to Wednesday. It is Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're going to have ourselves a great time here on the Russ Belville Show. Today, our last live show before we take off this weekend to the Normal National Conference 2012, the 41st annual down there in Los Angeles, California. We will get you all sorts of coverage of that on next week's shows, so make sure you stay tuned next week for videos, interviews, and all the coverage we can bring you from Normal National Conference. I and Carrie Gallagher will be down there, as well as some of our guests here in the studio. Sam Chapman and Calico Castile are in the house. How you guys doing? Good. Are we still out there?
Good. We're just not on mics, man.
There you go. It's away from the mics. They're hiding out. We've also got Brian the Red hanging out over here on mic number two. How you doing?
Hey.
All right. So all sorts of stuff coming up. Carrie's not on the show again today. Again, she took the week off getting ready for LA and all that, and that's perfectly fine. But we also have other news here for our Russ Belville Show family. Our good friend and High Times Cannabis Cup winner, Ganja John, is having some difficulties, and we just want to give him our best wishes and healthy, speedy recovery. We'll talk more about that in hour two, and it's not, you know, huge deal, but, you know, he's a frail guy sometimes. We want to make sure that he's okay. So if you got your Twitter out there, tweet out to @GanjaJohn. Let him know that you're thinking about him and that we hope everything turns out just fine. Again, we'll talk more about that in hour two. Coming up on today's show, we would normally have Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A segment, but Dr. Mitch is flying down to Los Angeles for the Normal Conference today. So today we're switching things up a little bit. We're going to do a speech from Judge Jim Gray, the Libertarian vice presidential candidate, at the Idaho Hope Fest this last Sunday. We played some of it in hour two. We're going to play the whole thing for you, about a 15-minute speech from the Idaho Hope Fest in Boise, Idaho this Sunday from Judge Jim Gray. Then we're going to follow that up with our Listen to Your Mother segment that we bumped from Monday. And joining us is Candace Junkins, and she is a Maryland mom for marijuana. She's also working on a DC quilt project. We'll ask her all about that. Before we get to that, though, we've got our 420 headline news. In the headlines today, of course, the Los Angeles City Council overturned the dispensary ban. We're going to take a look at West Virginia schools spending money on drug testing. And what about your dog and marijuana? Some claims from some Colorado veterinarians have got us a little worried here for Roscoe. And some archaeological news from 3rd century China. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around and make sure you check out our blog at RadicalRuss.com, on Twitter as RadicalRuss, and the show RBShow420 on Twitter and Facebook. Be right back. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Legalization is on the Oregon ballot this November. I'm just one of over 500,000 Oregon adults who use marijuana annually, and I'm asking you to vote yes on Measure 80. Measure 80 would finally end the futile prohibition of marijuana and institute regulations that treat marijuana like alcohol. Measure 80 would end the facade of police trying to determine who is sick or healthy enough to put in a cage over a plant. Measure 80 provides jobs and tax revenue that Oregon desperately needs and institutes the industrial hemp crop our legislators already legalized. Best of all, Measure 80 protects our children by imposing the same educational and ID carding requirements that have brought teen alcohol drinking and tobacco smoking to their lowest ever recorded levels. Marijuana smokers are your family, your coworkers, and your friends, and we are one out of every seven Oregon adults who deserve the same respect as our friends who enjoy fine Oregon wines and craft beers. We may be the only Oregonians who want to pay more taxes. Please donate to Oregonians for Law Reform at OregonLawReform.com and help us help Oregon by passing Measure 80.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Yo, ho, 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 and a ton of good smoke. Har, har.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
It's time for the 420 headline news with Carrie Gallagher. She is off today. I'm Russ Belville with the news. LA City Council, fearing referendum vote, repeals the ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. The outright ban on medical marijuana dispensaries that passed with a unanimous vote of the LA City Council has now been repealed in an 11-2 vote. Marijuana activists organized by Americans for Safe Access, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 770, and a coalition of dispensaries themselves called Greater Los Angeles Collective Alliance managed to collect the signatures required to force a referendum vote on the ban. That referendum would have appeared on the March ballot, which is also when 8 of the city council seats will be up for re-election. The LA City Council will have to vote again on the repeal since the first vote was not unanimous. The council also expressed plans to shut down dispensaries through other legal means, such as zoning ordinance violations. Some council members expressed disgust with the ease with which people can access medical marijuana, claiming that advocates were, quote, shielding themselves, end quote, with patients when most dispensary patrons are recreational. However, one council member, Bill Rosendahl, is a medical marijuana patient fighting cancer, who asked, quote, where does anybody go, even a councilman go, to get his medical marijuana, end quote. The repeal means once again that Los Angeles has no active regulations regarding medical marijuana dispensaries. Vet claims medical marijuana has led to 400% increase in stoner dogs. The passage of medical marijuana in Colorado in 2000 has led to a 400% increase in veterinary emergency treatment for dogs that have ingested cannabis, according to Dr. Stacy Miola at Colorado's Wheat Ridge Veterinary Clinic, reports CBS News Denver. Unlike marijuana's effect on humans, marijuana ingestion for dogs can be fatal. Dr. Debbie Van Pelt of the Veterinary Specialty and Emergency Hospital in Inglewood says that there are, quote, huge spikes in the frequency of marijuana ingestion, end quote, by dogs in the states where marijuana laws have been liberalized. Veterinarians suspect that the dogs are likely getting into the marijuana-infused products that have become a popular medicine for cannabis patients. According to Dr. Miola, most dogs that ingest marijuana will be fine after 24 hours, but she knows of two dogs that, quote, got into baked goods with medical-grade marijuana butter in it, which presumably seems to be more toxic to the dogs, so we did have two deaths, end quote. The usual symptoms of canine cannabis consumption include lethargy, vomiting, and staggering. Some dogs become overly sensitive to light and sound, and a few have been known to fall into a coma. The size of the dog can make a major difference. One news in New Zealand reported on a less than 2-kilogram chihuahua that nearly died of hypothermia from eating marijuana roaches. Cannabis causes blood vessels to dilate, which causes the telltale red eyes in mammals that consume it. However, that blood vessel dilation also means the tiny chihuahua radiated all its internal body heat to the surface of its body, causing the hypothermia. So, add marijuana to avocado, alcohol, onions, garlic, caffeine, raisins, grapes, milk, macadamia nuts, chocolate, peaches, plums, and persimmons to the list of edibles you should keep away from your dog. Should your dog consume your stash and the effects become too severe, it can be treated with extra hydration and absorbent charcoal by a veterinarian. Archaeologists find cannabis sativa as an important part of the 3rd to 10th century Chinese diet. Archaeologists working to analyze food remains from the Turpan region of China have discovered evidence of cannabis sativa use in the Chinese diet circa 200 AD to 900 AD, according to a new study published in PLOS 1. In the present study, 7 cereal plant species were identified from the cemeteries, including cannabis sativa. Written records also indicate that porridge was usually made from a couple of herbs, with meat sometimes added for mixture for those of higher status. However, ordinary porridge was made only from common herbs and was usually consumed by monks, wage earners, as well as poor people. In contrast to the other cereals, the fruits of cannabis sativa were consumed only in small amounts, also in accordance with archaeological excavations. In conclusion, such a rich variety of food crops as well as their byproducts no doubt greatly improved the living standards of the region's people and provided the impetus for cultural prosperity. In addition, these food remains reflect that the diet was not just for food, but also for a higher spiritual enjoyment for certain Turpan ancestors. This has been your 420 Headline News. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and look at a county in West Virginia spending $50,000 on student drug testing.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. Five of the last 7 major party candidates to run for president, 3 of the last 7 vice presidential candidates, and the last 3 presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back. It is 13 after the hour, and it's time for us to go behind the headlines in a story that I picked out of the Google News feed on drug testing. As some of you know who watch the show a lot, drug testing is the whole reason I am here, and it's a subject that I think is one of the worst aspects of our drug war. So let me give you this story that I picked up from the Charleston Daily Mail in West Virginia. Putnam County School District in West Virginia drug tested 1,072 6th to 12th graders, that's right, 6th graders, last year at a cost of over $50,000. The drug testing, performed via a cheek saliva swab, uncovered less than 1% of those students as drug users. Just going to do the math in my head here. 1,072, less than 1% means 10 or fewer. That means it cost at least $5,000 for every positive drug test they uncovered in the Putnam County School District. The random drug testing program comprises over 3,000 students who have signed up for athletics. Only 1,072 of them got the random check, who have signed up for athletics or extracurricular activities, or students who drive themselves to school, or students whose parents have signed them up for the program. Now, Danielle Gillespie, and fair notice here, I called Danielle Gillespie's office. I did leave a message for a callback. I haven't heard back from her. To be fair, I only called her 2-3 hours ago, so I haven't heard back from Danielle Gillespie yet. But Danielle Gillespie, Putnam's coordinator of drug prevention and education, indicates that the drugs tested for include amphetamines, methamphetamines, benzodiazepines, fencyclidines, Barbiturates, cocaine, opiates, and marijuana. However, alcohol and steroids are only occasionally tested for, as those tests are more expensive. Despite the fact that alcohol is an illegal drug for minors, and it's the illegal drug most used by students. Now, the school officials at Putnam County, including Danielle Gillespie, are defending this $50,000 cost to catch 10 or fewer students using drugs. They claim that the drug tests have given students an excuse to just say no, and that the state's survey of student drug use proves that. According to their Pride surveys, and these Pride surveys in West Virginia survey 5th graders, 8th graders, and 11th graders, right? According to these Pride surveys for West Virginia, in the year during the imposition of drug testing, that was 2010-2011 school year. So through the 2011 school year, drug use among 8th graders increased 1%. That's right. The year they started rolling out the drug testing, more 8th graders reported using drugs. And among 11th graders, it decreased 3.6%. But in this first full year of testing the students, that's the 2012 school year, they've seen a decrease of 5% amongst 8th graders and 9.4% amongst 11th graders. Now, the problem I have with that data is that these are surveys of the students' self-reported drug use. So do you think maybe in the year or two that they institute a drug testing program that gets you kicked out of band, gets you kicked out of your sports team or whatever you're doing, or means that you have to ride the school bus? Do you think maybe those kids taking the surveys are a little more reticent to indicate that they're using drugs? Maybe that's a possibility. And the problem with this, of course, is that the drug testing itself has been decried, put down by the American Academy of Pediatrics, you know, doctors who study kids, as being ineffective and ill-advised, that it fosters a bad relationship between the student and the school or the parent and the kid. It fosters distrust. And really, if you think about it, the kids who are most likely to have a problem with abusing drugs or alcohol probably aren't the ones trying out for band or drill team or track or whatever, right? And for the kids that do you go to their extracurricular activities, who are involved with those activities, if they are going to try something, you've just incentivized them to try something other than marijuana, something that's going to flush from them from their systems much quicker, something like alcohol that's only occasionally tested, rather than using the safest possible choice they could have made in that situation. And if we do have a kid who might be in a situation where peer pressure or his family life might lead him to using drugs, let's keep him in the extracurricular activities. Let's keep her in the band or the drill team. Let's have their idle hands given something to do other than lighting up a joint or drinking a beer. It just seems to make sense to me. I know when I was a kid living in a town with not much to do, that became something to do. Drinking became something to do. Let's give these kids something to do and not disincentivize them for trying out for extracurriculars. All right, so that is also up on my blog at RadicalRust.com. And before we end this segment, I did want to make a shout out to my friends at DFW Normal, Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. The guys that brought you the 420 Truth Car are at it again. Check this out. That's right, folks. It's Dallas-Fort Worth Normal's Hydro, the Normal Boat. Fantastic video of them out on the water, dragging tubes, having a good time. Normal logo emblazoned prominently on the side of the boat and on the back. DFW Normal's Hydro. That's just the coolest damn thing I have seen all week. I hope I see some of you guys there at the Normal National Conference this weekend. First, we have something to do.
Oh, is it about that time again, isn't it?
It's that time again.
Uh-huh.
All right, folks, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to have Judge Jim Gray. Stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Big Daddy thinks.
Boogie, roller rink.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on RadicalRust.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, we're going to get Irie on this next one, and I'm going to throw this over to Brian the Red because he's the one who brought the song in today. It's only fair that you introduce it.
Well, this is Lahaina Grown by Lahaina Grown.
Yeah.
This is, I heard this on another online radio station, which will remain unnamed. anyway, it was on the radio station, and I said, hey, that's pretty good island reggae, so let's go ahead and play that this week.
All right, so Lahaina Grown. Now, of course, you're doing the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback.
That is happening tonight.
Got a flashback coming up tonight, far out.
Yeah.
And this is we're doing this as an interim show while Coleco, of course, is working with his with the pack and everything. And Coleco, you know, big thanks for having the spot open here for Red Eyes here.
By all means, I'm happy to have the reggae flashback. I enjoy listening to it.
Now, you said you'd know this Lahaina Grown band as well.
Yeah, I used to listen to Lahaina Grown when I was going to Western, and I was first starting to delve into reggae music and Hawaiian music. But yeah, obviously Lahaina from the island of Maui, and they're awesome. This is a great song, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's just get into it. This is Lahaina Grown with Lahaina Grown.
It's our destiny to set the waters free. A message to all, Lahaina Grown means where we're from. To our people, here we come. We turn the lights down low. You know we're jamming from the heart. Let our music touch your soul. To be silent from the heart, you have pride for the west side. Sounded from the heart, you have cried for the west side.
'cause who you are is where you come from, and you must never look down on anyone, 'cause what you reap is what you sow. Just some things you oughta know. A message to all, Lahaina Grove means where we're from, to our people here we come. We turn the lights down low, you know we jamming from the heart. Let our music touch your soul, and music touch your soul, and music touch your soul. Lahaina from Kaila Village, we know at Pukoli, that's where we used to be. Ohana down Mala, hold 'em down together, unity, the way it's supposed to be. A message to all, Lahaina Grove means where we're from, to our people here we come. We turn the lights down low, you know we jamming from the heart. Let our music touch your soul, and music touch your soul, and music touch your soul. To be silent from the heart, we have pride for the west side. Be solid from the heart, we have pride for the west side. 'Cause for our people as one we strive, we never fail with our Ohana vibe. So like a river, feel the flow, we are Lahaina Grove. A message to all, Lahaina Grove means where we're from, to our people here we come. We turn the lights down low, you know we jamming from the heart. Let our music touch your soul, the music touch your soul, the music touch your soul.
Kids and marijuana, it's something every parent worries about. With Measure 80 on the ballot, many parents are worried about what message legalized marijuana would send to their children. While legalization seems scary, our experience with alcohol and tobacco show that regulation and education, not prohibition, are what best protects our children. Today, fewer teens drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes than when we were growing up. And that's because we passed strict ID carding regulations, put beer and cigarettes out of kids' reach, and educated them about the real harms of smoking and drinking. In fact, teens smoking and drinking are at their lowest recorded levels ever, and we didn't arrest a single adult for cigarettes and beer to accomplish that. Kids consistently say that beer is harder to buy than pot. After Measure 80, marijuana is treated like alcohol. You have to be 21, you have to show ID, and you have to go to an adults-only store. The message we send to kids today is just say no, and it doesn't work. Let's send the message that marijuana is for adults, and someday they can make that decision for themselves. Vote yes on Measure 8.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift.
Welcome back, everyone. 28 after the hour. Want to send out big thanks to our newest VIP members at RadicalRust.com that include a gentleman from Finland. That's right. We're international, baby.
Reforming America's prohibition laws cannot happen without relentlessly and directly engaging our lawmakers and other elected officials. The Russ Belville Show keeps you on top of all the latest developments at the federal, state, and local level with our government at work.
All right, we go to the Idaho Hope Fest and VP candidate Judge Jim Gray.
The weather is always this good in Boise, but you guys better be careful, because if the word gets out, you're going to be as populated as Southern California, where I'm from, and you do not want that to happen. So you can swear me to silence. Orange County, my friend. Orange County, good spot. But I am here actually representing our campaign. Governor Gary Johnson, I have been quoted as saying for a long time now, is the most qualified person to be president of the United States that I know of. In fact, just to give you a little bit of my background, I'm a former drug warrior. You know, I was a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I was a Navy JAG attorney in Guam and Lemoore, California, criminal defense as well as prosecuting people. But after being in the... Okay, how do you do? Nice to see you. Thank you. Good for you. Thank you, sir. But after looking in my own courtroom at us churning low-level drug offenders through the system for no good purpose, I actually decided who better to talk about this than seemingly a conservative judge in a conservative county. I've never used any form of illicit substance. I have enough trouble with my cholesterol. I'm not going to use other things. And, you know, who better to get this word out than me? So I held a press conference, actually April the 8th of 1992, more than 20 years ago, saying our nation's drug policy is not working. We have to put our heads together and come up with something better. Better, we couldn't do it. Worse if we tried. So anything we would do would be better than this. The reason I'm bringing this up right now, though, is that actually in 1999, Governor Gary Johnson of New Mexico, the sitting governor of that state, actually did the same thing. He held a press conference and said he'd conducted his own what he called audit and has determined that our nation's drug policy flat out is not working and we simply must do something better. And then he implemented numbers of changes thereafter.
He got my attention.
He should get yours. Governor Gary Johnson is a man of principle. He's a man that's actually read the Constitution and acts upon it. And he actually has courage. He didn't have any political constituency to do this. In fact, he took a lot of heat from doing it, even from his own drug czar, who quit, which is fine with him, but that he did this, and he's continuing to do this. He stands for these principles. He stands for action. He is what the people of the United States of America need, and you folks really need to help us by getting this word out to your email world. Tell them about Governor Gary Johnson. Send the link to our website, GaryJohnson2012.com. Send it to your world and request that your people also take it personally and send it on to theirs. There are other things going on as well, guys. You must know, and I'm sure you do, those great states of Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. Washington and Oregon. How many of you know of people that vote in any one of those states? You got to get on the horn. Your email, your phones, Twitter, I don't care. You can tweet or Twitter or whatever you want to call it today. But contact anybody you know that votes in Colorado, Oregon, or Washington and tell them to support the initiatives to regulate marijuana like alcohol. They've got to pass. This will be a revolutionary type of thing that we will really gain back our freedoms and our ability as adults to decide what and when we want to put things into our bodies. It is categorically important that we actually look at that federal government, thumb our noses at them and say, get out of town. This is our issue, not yours. We can do that. Any farming going on in Idaho? Any farming at all? Huh? Maybe a little bit of hemp might help the agricultural products here in Idaho. I'm sure you know about hemp. Actually, four times more paper pulp from an acre of hemp than an acre of trees. Takes something in the order of 8 or 9 months to grow the hemp and 20 years to grow the trees. So we are importing. I'm sure there's a lot of hemp products here at this festival, but they all come from where? From Canada, from other countries. It's a $1 billion export from Canada into the United States. It's crazy. It's crazy. We're going to change that. We're going to change the laws in Idaho and our country to treat hemp like cotton, just like any other industrialized product. That's what we need to do. These initiatives in those three states will help that be accomplished. So this is a hugely important election. Other things. We actually are on one side and Romney and Obama are on the other. Romney and Obama are in favor of continuing the war on drugs. Gary Johnson, Judge Jim Gray are not. You can talk about our military. I am the only one of the six of us running for president or vice president that's actually been in the military. In fact, in somewhat unusual circumstance, I was actually awarded a combat action ribbon on a training cruise when I was actually still at USC Law School and I was sent to the rivers of Vietnam for the summer. So that was really kind of interesting. But I've seen what happens when you have troops sent into harm's way that are not provisioned. That will not happen under the Gary Johnson, Judge Jim Gray administration. However, Romney and Obama are the same. They are continuing to send our troops into military conflicts around the world. Right now we're in the Sudan, for heaven's sakes. How many of you people feel the Sudan is a security threat to the United States of America? Or Somalia? Or Yemen? Or Afghanistan? We are the ones that will bring our troops home from Afghanistan now. Not in 2014, not sometime in the future, but now. We're not accomplishing anything positive there, and we will bring our troops home. And by the way, we can't afford it. So these are things, if you're secure, if you're concerned about a security threat, if you're concerned about a security threat to the United States of America, the biggest security threat is what? It's a weak economy. And guess what happened to ancient Rome? The Roman Empire never defeated from without. They overextended and collapsed from within. Guess where we are today? Same thing happened with regard to the Ottoman Empire, the Soviet Empire. They weren't defeated from without. They overextended and collapsed from within. So these are things, again, Governor Gary Johnson, Judge Jim Gray are on one side, Romney and Obama. In fact, they're so much the same, we call them Robomney. They're the same on the same sides of the issues, and we're on the other side. Get these words out there. And when it comes down to it, you know, it sounds like defeatist talk because we are running to win this election. And if we can be seen as viable, we're more qualified and more able than anyone else. And as you all know, Romney's support is soft. Really, more than 50% of the people that right this minute are planning on voting for Romney are really just voting against Obama. And the same thing is true in reverse. More than half the people that are planning on putting an X by Obama's name are just voting against Romney. They'll never vote for the other one. They will vote for us if we're seen as viable. So that's where we're going, and we can do this with your help. Again, take it personally. Take it upon yourself to contact your email world and let them know about this. Send them our website, etc. But as a fallback position, and this sounds defeatist, but it's a fallback position, if we only get 5% of the vote, just 5% of the vote will mean that we will be entitled to competing to matching funds from the federal government in 2016, and we'll also be able to be on the ballot when any state we get 5% or more without jumping through all these hoops and getting all of the signatures and everything else. It will be the end of the two-party system in the United States of America. That is a good thing. That would make the radical elements on each side go more into the mainstream. Because we're the only ones in the mainstream today. We are financially responsible and socially tolerant. No one's going to accuse Obama of being financially responsible. Nobody at all. And nobody is going to accuse Romney of being socially tolerant. No one at all. We are in that political mainstream. So we are the ones. And you listen to all of these problems going on in our world today, and we have responses. We have resolutions to these problems. They don't. For example, you've all seen Romney and Obama's ads, right? They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on the radio and television, filling up your mailing, your mailboxes with all of this stuff. Are they talking about their record? No, they can't. They don't have a record to talk about, either one. Are they talking about their ideas? No, again. Now, how many of you have seen any of their ads expressing new ideas? I haven't. Neither of you. But what are they talking about? They're simply saying how inept the other one is. And you know something? We agree with both of them. We are qualified. We are able. We are more experienced. We have more ideas. And we will be able to actually implement what we call a coalition government. Yes, we will have libertarians and independents highly placed in our administration, but we'll also have Republicans and Democrats as long as they agree with our approach of being financially responsible and socially tolerant. And then when we have these political problems, you have that bipolar politics going on in Washington today, we'll be able to have some of their own members, Republicans or Democrats, going out, hey, come on, guys, get together. This is a good idea. Embrace it. We will give recognition and credit to anybody that has a good idea, anybody that embraces a good idea, and get away from this partisan politics going on so rampantly in Washington today. Yet another reason to vote for whom? Governor Gary Johnson and Judge Jim Gray, I should say. So with that, I am here to spread this word, but we are small, we are mighty. I'm going around the country talking to various people, but you need to take this personally. That's what needs to happen. This is your country. In fact, I talk about my generation. I'm older than most of you. My generation has really made a mess of this. Financially, we have really, really caused our problems. and our children are the ones that are going to have to pay it back, and our grandchildren are bankrupt. So if you're not taking it personally, you're going to fit in somewhere between my grandchildren and my children, or whatever your age is. You better take it personally, because it's your future, it's your country, and we are in deep trouble financially as well as from a civil rights standpoint. Because what? What is the soul of the United States of America? What is the thing that separates us from the rest of the world? It's our civil liberties, it's our freedoms. And our soul today is under attack by our very own government. Who stands in the way of having that be perpetuated? Governor Gary Johnson. The so-called Patriot Act? No, direct frontal attack on our civil liberties. In fact, honestly, I was a lifelong Republican until the passage of the so-called Patriot Act, when I decided as a matter of conscience I could not be a part of any group that would condone, much less assist, this direct frontal attack on our civil liberties. And I left the Republican Party. It took me about 9.5 seconds to determine I am a libertarian, I've always been a libertarian, and I always will be a libertarian from there on after. We will repeal the Patriot Act. Romney will not, Governor Johnson will. The so-called National Defense Authorization Act, do you know what it is? You know, anybody, citizen or not, could be rendered, labeled a terrorist by whom? By the Obama administration, by the executive department. What happens then? We could be detained, translation, arrested, held without trial, without any charges pending against us, and actually rendered, which means we could be deported to another country. It used to be Egypt, we'd be tortured. Who knows where it would be today? This is not what the United States of America stands for. Governor Gary Johnson will repeal the National Defense Authorization Act. Romney have embraced it as their own. It goes on and on, folks. Guantanamo. We heard President Obama, when he was running, say, first thing he'd do is close down Guantanamo. Has it happened? Is it still there? Is it a blight, a bleeding sore on the soul of the United States of America? We say we will close down Guantanamo and put this to an end. Not what the United States of America stands for. So there we go. I could go on. In fact, now I'm getting warmed up and getting excited, so it must be time to take questions. But there's so much to talk about. We have some answers. And even if you don't agree with us, we can tell you where we stand. You will agree with us on the main things. If you don't, we're not always going to agree on the smaller things, but as we say in one of our ads, how many of you have seen some of the ads on YouTube for Governor Gary Johnson? Not enough people. They're brilliant, and they're actually truthful. Imagine that. But one of them is, look, just be libertarian with us this one election. Just be libertarian with us in 2012. And if for some reason prosperity, equal opportunity, and freedom doesn't work for you, you can always, 4 years from now, vote back politics as usual. Is that what you want? That's what you're going to get unless you take it personally and help Governor Gary Johnson get into the White House. And I'll be there too. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate the opportunity. Take this personally, and I'll be around to answer any personal questions that you may have. Thank you so much, and big grill.
That's Judge Jim Gray, of course, at the Idaho Hope Fest, facing off with the heckler from hell. a drunk, of course. Had to be a drunk, you know that, right? Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Candace Junkin. She's a Maryland bomb for marijuana, and she's getting involved in the regional D.C. quilt, marijuana quilt project. We'll talk to her about that and more in our Listen to Your Mother segment. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. We love each and every one of you.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Georgia,
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's 46 after the hour, and joining us by telephone, we have an activist from the great state of Maryland working with Moms for Marijuana and a great project. We're going to ask her all about it. It's Candace Junkin. Candace, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Russ. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's nice to hear from someone in Maryland. You may be the first Maryland activist I've gotten a chance to speak to.
Oh, really? Well, we need more of them. So
yeah.
Everybody in Maryland needs to get on board.
Well, what got you on board?
Well, actually, I am a cannabis patient in a state that does not give me the legal right to be. And I choose cannabis over the myriad of pharmaceutical painkillers that the doctors want to fill me up with. Mm-hmm. And I started looking online for mothers that were doing the same thing. And I got involved with Moms for Marijuana. And a couple of years later, I'm assistant to the founding director. And I'm working really hard to see that patients, not just in Maryland, but all over the place, have access to their natural medication that works.
Good for you. That's great work that you're doing. And, you know, I know a lot of the moms that are out here on the West Coast doing the same thing. But out there in the East Coast, there's not as much education, a whole lot of ignorance among the people. How has this affected you and your social circle, your work, and just anything in general?
You know, I think I've been really lucky. I did wait to kind of come out of the cannabis closet until my kids were grown and out of my house. But in my social circle, I have really surprised at the support that I've gotten, not just from my friends, but from my family. Now, you do run into those people who just think I'm a pothead and I'm crazy and I have nothing to say. But it has been my experience so far that more and more people really believe in cannabis as a medicine and cannabis legalization across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been okay. Now, I'm not trying to get a job with the government or anything.
So. Right. Well, there's a project that you're associated with that I think is really interesting because we've got a hearing that's coming forth on October 16th. Americans for Safe Access are suing. It's being heard in D.C. Appeals Court on rescheduling of marijuana for medical purposes. The day before, you guys have an event going on. So tell everyone about that.
We do. We have this awesome event. We are going to unveil our cannabis quilt at the Sylvan Theater in Washington, D.C. on the 15th, the day before the hearing. The cannabis quilt is a project that was inspired by the tremendous statement that was made by the AIDS quilt. Mm-hmm. We're kind of doing the same thing with cannabis patients and organizations all over the country. And people have been sending in these fabulous squares for our quilt. The quilt is huge, and we're going to unveil it, like I said, at the Sylvan on the 15th. We have some awesome speakers. We have awesome music and just an awesome message. We're trying to bring everybody together to unite for cannabis legalization.
Excellent. Now, if people want more information on this, is there a Facebook or a website that they can go to?
There sure is. They can go to our website. It's momstomarijuana.com. All the information is there. We have a big page up on Facebook. They can find that at Facebook at Cannabis Quilt. And come out and join us on the 15th. It's going to be an awesome event. We've worked really hard for this.
All right. So in your personal history, you say you're using cannabis for medicinal purposes. Had it always been that way in your life? What was it that, how did you find out that it was medically beneficial for you?
Well, Russ, I have a condition called trigeminal neuralgia, and it is a very painful disorder of the feel, the nerve in my face that gives my face feeling. And the doctors had me so doped up on OxyContin and Percocets and morphine and all different kinds of drugs, and I could not raise my family like that. And I was sitting on my back porch one night, and I was almost in tears because I was such a zombie and my kids were running around and it was crazy. And I thought about, you know, the way that I used to relax when I smoked cannabis, and I decided to try it. And 3 months later, I was off of every single one of the opiate painkillers that the doctors had me on. And that's my story. That, and I just got angry because it was better for me, and I could live my life the way I couldn't live it being all drugged up and zombified on those painkillers.
Yeah. So cannabis use was something that you had tried in your youth. Was this before you had gotten this condition, though?
I had, you know, in high school and maybe in my early 20s. I don't even remember when I stopped smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was, you know, in my 20s. I was raising kids and, you know, out in the job world, and I'm sure it just, you know, slipped away.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I remembered and I tried it again, because literally it saved my life.
Yeah.
The disease I have, they call it the suicide disease, because the pain is so intense that people just can't take it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so cannabis to me really saved my life.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of, you know, it's, for me, when I hear of your story about this, and that the way that you had to come about this medicine was first going through all the opiate painkillers and all the Western medical treatments to try to do that. And the things they can do to your liver and the rest of your organs are not so wonderful either.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We have dogs too. But to have to go through all of those treatments first, and then the only way that you thought to even try cannabis was having had a recreational experience with it back in teenage years, which I imagine for a lot of people, they don't break through that. They wouldn't even think to go back to try it because they never had when they were younger. And it just speaks to how this ignorance of the medicinal use can be so harmful to people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have four daughters, and I raised my four daughters for a lot of years on the opiate painkillers. And it was a decision I had to make. And I knew that it could be dangerous. You know, people want to, it's okay for me to take a pharmaceutical painkiller that turns me into a zombie. But if I want to use this plant that grows naturally in the ground, they're ready with their torches and their pitchforks to come in and take my children.
Yeah. That is one of the worst aspects of this as well, is, you know, we hear so much about, you know, people that are in support of prohibition saying they're doing it to send the right message to the children. What message does it send to the children when you take their mom away and put her in a cage for treating her illness? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So with this group you're with Moms for Marijuana, you're working there out on the East Coast, out in Maryland. And how has it been in recruiting other moms?
Well, it hasn't been easy. I live in a very small rural area. But like I said, the support has been incredible. And I have a lot of people that come up to me and say, you know, I don't want to be out there publicly, but I do want you to know that I support what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd really like to see is some more people getting involved and helping me try to change things. I do have the Maryland chapter of Moms for Marijuana is very small. We have maybe 200 members. And I would really like to see some people step up and say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the government telling me that this doesn't have any kind of value. And it's time for us to do something about it.
Absolutely. And that's how alcohol prohibition was repealed as well, as when mothers stood up and started speaking out about how it was harming their families. So
That's right. It's hard to argue with your mother.
Yeah, I totally applaud what you do. And check out momsformarijuana.com for more information. You can join, you know, you don't have to be in Maryland. You can be anywhere on the planet. They are international.
That's right. If you go to our website, we have all of our chapters. We have grown to 135 chapters in 15 countries. And if you go on the website and you don't find your local chapter, then contact us and start one.
Absolutely. So as we wind this interview up, though, you know, talking about your medical use, obviously, if you prescribed all the Vicodins, Dilaudid, and so forth, you have a lot of interface with your doctor. Since you've been using cannabis and since you've been able to go off all of your pills, how have your doctors reacted, or do they know?
I'm really lucky that I have a fantastic doctor that, while she cannot go on the record in Maryland and tell me to smoke cannabis, she has actually been pretty supportive and at times surprised that I've gotten off of all these medications.
Yeah.
The sad fact of the matter is most doctors in this state are not like that.
Right.
So it's, you know, real hard to find, but if you can find a doctor that supports you, you're very, very lucky.
Let's talk about a little bit about the access issue. I mean, being in Maryland, of course, people know that Baltimore is the scene of the TV show The Wire, and they can think of all sorts of hazards of interfacing with the black market for cannabis. How do you get by?
I have to go to the street.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, makes me the maddest. And I have to say, in 2009, my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And that's when I really stepped up my activism, because when his disease is under control now, but we all know it's a progressive disease. Mm-hmm. One day it's not going to be. And when he gets to where he wants to use cannabis for his disease, I don't want my 70-year-old father to have to go to the streets to get his medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I take that chance every day just because I know it works for me. I know what it does for me, and it's worth it. But it is a chance I take every day of arrest and humiliation and embarrassment.
Yeah, and you shouldn't have to. Candace Junkin with Maryland Moms for Marijuana, the D.C. Regional Quilt Project thing's happening on. Give us the date and the place and the time and all that.
October 15th at the Sylvan Theater in Washington, D.C. It's a joint venture with Overgrow the Government. We're going to unveil our quilt. We have awesome speakers, music, and we'll be waiting to see all of you out there with us.
All right. Get involved, people. Activism starts with ACT. So you can do that by joining up with momsformarijuana.com. And there's lots of groups out there. If that's not the one for you, find the one that is or start one. We can all do this together. We're all on the same team if we're about ending prohibition. Candace Junkin, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate having you here today.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And when going to continue on into hour two into Toker Talk Radio. So if you have any questions or concerns or comments, you can dial us at 971-533-7111. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation, available at RadicalRust.com, TheWeedBlog.com, MikeCan.net, Pot.tv, and Pinkleaf Project, I believe.
It's, yeah.
Among many, many websites out there. So thanks for joining us. And like I said, we're going into hour two. In hour two, we're going to have a little more discussion on what's happening behind the headlines. We've got some more videos to show. And just wrapping things up before we head to the normal national conference this weekend. Going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Actually, the conference is Thursday through Saturday, but Carrie and I are staying through Tuesday. Maybe doing some special projects while we're down there. Can't tell you much more than that.
Uh-huh.
But if it works out like I hope it works out, it's going to be really cool.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, for Brian the Red, Wiz Calico, Sam Chapman, Candace Carey, who's off today, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Ganja John, get well soon, my man. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you